Welcome. Tonight's program will dive deep into fringe knowledge of lost, hidden, and suppressed truths about the nature of our reality. The decoding process can be uncomfortable and at times frightening. However, you are not alone on this journey of understanding. Welcome to the Shadow Bank Podcast, and welcome home.
Sup?
Sup?
I always forget that I don't have to like fade this out myself, fade the intro out. Like I already have it. It does it on its own.
Yeah, we edited it. We edited it that way. I think I had a stroke.
So smart.
Yeah.
So what's new in the world?
There's stuff that's new. I watched, you know, I don't normally do this, but I went ahead and watched the like a recent Trump interview with NBC, I want to say. Man. But the blatant, the obvious, like, bias and just garbage journalism. Man, and I'm not even, like, a big Trump guy, to be honest with you, you know? It's just, like...
He's just the front man of the puppet show, dude.
You know? But yeah, that's new for me today. I watched that, and I probably shouldn't have. I lost a few brain cells. Oh, also, I've been kind of telling people somewhat jokingly that we're going to get drafted soon, but I guess we'll see if that actually happens. But what's up with you?
Not much, man. Just trying to moderate how deep down the rabbit hole I go. Stuff. That's a slippery slope, dude. You start on something, I'm on this false flag project here, and I'm like, whoa, how's this related to this? It's just like, whoa, okay, hold on.
Speaking of that, before we get into it.
2 hours and 45 minutes of Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan today. No conspiracy talk.
Ooh.
I'm well-versed in Muay Thai and MMA folklore now.
Don't you hate that, though? Because it's like some of these guys, like Eddie Bravo, you know, whether he likes it or not, he's that guy now. You know?
He's that guy.
You want to hear it.
He backed himself into that corner, dog. Like, I'm sitting here learning about Emelianenkov and friggin' all these guys. I'm like, holy goodness gracious, dude. I mean, I love mixed martial arts and stuff, so I'm down for it. But, you know, 245 is gone, dude. Not getting that back.
Yeah, no, definitely not. The new Tesseract album is amazing. Don't know if you heard it?
Oh, no.
What?
No, I haven't heard it.
Shout out to Tesseract. If you haven't listened to Tesseract, or if you don't listen to Tesseract, go listen to Tesseract. New album's great.
I'm still listening to Arch Echoes' new album.
Arch Echoes. Did you tell me about Arch Echoes? It sounds familiar.
Dog. Arch Echo, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Okay. I think
I'm pretty sure I did.
I think they're on my list. Anyway, so what's up, man? You looked up some false flags. You looked up some research, some data.
I just got a short one.
Okay, let's go. Fire it up.
But it's tied off of the last one, which I didn't realize. And I might have mentioned this a while ago. Sup, dog?
There he is.
Last episode. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this recently, but it crossed my brain when I was listening to another short YouTube thing about Churchill and how we got into World War II. Last week I did the Spanish-American War and how like we were wanting to take over some of these, the Philippines, Guam, all that kind of stuff. Lo and behold, these two things are actually tied together. How we got into World War II and the Spanish-American War. One is right on the heels of the other, right? We end it mid-19 whatevers. And then, you know, we go through the 20s, Great Depression, World War II happens. FDR, he's doing all this isolationist stuff. We're kind of building a little bit of an empire, so to speak. We're colonizing some other places. We've got Guam. We've got the Philippines now, right? Real close to Japan, who just fought World War I. and then was kind of dejected afterward. They didn't get the spoils of war. But during this time, FDR is like, we're not engaging in Europe's wars. We're over here. We're doing our thing. That's their thing. We're not getting involved. So they sign. They sign all these, I forget what the word is, not a treaty, but these acts that we don't get involved in wars unless attacked. Unless we're directly attacked, we don't get in. And so World War II pops off. Japan is now like, all right, you're not going to give us the spoils of war. We're going to take them. You can't treat us like that. We helped. We were the good guys. Well, now we're the bad guys. So they go and they're just beating China ass, dude. They're just destroying. They do they're in Manchuria and all that. It's bad. They start working their way down toward the Philippines and Guam. And they get in there. They get into the Philippines and Guam. America, nothing. Like, all right, don't do that. But it's not a direct attack because those are kind of like recently acquired territories. And we're not really over there that much. England's getting wiped out. They're getting the floor mopped with them. And Churchill reaches out to FDR. He's like, please, you gotta help us. He's like, no, we're not doing it. We sign the acts. We sign the initiatives. We are not getting involved with your wars unless we're directly attacked. Right after that, Pearl Harbor. And you think, would Churchill have done something? Allowed information to be compromised, sent out bad intel, because it just so happens that a lot of our Navy was at Pearl Harbor, just not on the day they attacked. So not only did they do exactly what they needed to do to get us in the war, but they did it on a day that didn't impact us as much as it should have.
What was the Navy doing?
They were doing some practice.
Oh my God, bro. I knew it, dude. Every time. Wait, hold on. Stop. Skirt. Every single time they're doing a training, a war game, a simulation. NORAD's.
Does this sound familiar to 9/11?
Yeah, NORAD's over here doing a thing, you know, like. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
The military? Where was the Air Force when 9/11 was happening? Oh, they were on a training thing.
You know when you're watching a show and you just know what's going to happen, but you're not sure because you haven't seen it yet, but you're like, that's going to happen, right? And then bam, it happens. And you're like,
knew it.
Every time.
Yeah. So I'm listening and I'm like, okay. I'm hearing what's happening. Okay. I'm reading different things. And what's very interesting, FDR won his third term, which was like unprecedented. No one had ever done it, I don't think. Basically on, we are not fighting World War II. We're going to focus on us. We're coming out of the Great Depression. We're focusing on us. We got the industry's booming. We're here. We're going to sanction Japan, which that apparently doesn't ever work. Their foreign policy is horrible. Every time we sanction somebody, we just end up getting in a war with them. So it doesn't work. He obviously dies, right? Everybody knows he dies mid-term. And then Truman shows up and drops Little Boy and Fat Man. After the war, you would think Churchill, hero. He was the prime minister at the time. You would think hero. Not reelected. Led them through one of the darkest times in their history. Not reelected. Strange. Very strange.
Did Maybe I'm mistaken.
Did he do something? Did they know?
Well, of course. Listen, man. Anytime big strings get pulled like this, you know, they, right? Big quotes. They know. Well before. I mean, dude, look at Nancy Pelosi's stock market success. Okay. And that's just a small example. This is an example at the bottom, okay, of the pyramid. People think, well, she's got all this power. No, she's not at the top of the pyramid. Bottom of the pyramid, okay?
Yeah. That's like turn a blind eye to stuff kind of deal. It's like, ask right. Pelosi, whatever.
Right. So imagine.
Getting the most powerful nation in the world into war.
Of course they know. All these global corporations. Here's the other thing, too. Okay, so we over here, and we do it, too. We're guilty of this, especially when we're talking about conspiracies and, you know, oh, they're, you know, the military-industrial complex is doing this, doing that, pulling this string, lobbying for this, making wars happen endlessly. We're always blaming these corporations that are usually American corporations, right? But these corporations and these shadow entities and these shell companies, they exist all over the world.
All over.
And they're doing all kinds of stuff, pulling all kinds of strings. So, like, you know, even right now, like in Ukraine, for instance, I don't know. I could just only, you know, guess and whatever on this, but I guarantee almost that there's all sorts of, you know, Lockheed Martins and Raytheons out there just taking full advantage of the situation, not just there, but in other places, just
100%.
Just washing money, you know, testing shit, whatever.
Dude, Volkswagen, Hugo Boss, I mean, that's the people's wagon. That's Volkswagen. That's what it means. And we know whose people that wagon was for. Hugo Boss made all of their uniforms.
Yeah. Odin's so, not happy with Nancy Pelosi.
Now, for sure. But yeah, like, of course. I mean, these companies are still in existence today, and, you know, massive companies, and they made the Nazi cars and uniforms. It's big business for everybody. When you go wartime, everybody, dude. I think that's why we went on to daylight savings, too.
Wasn't
to get an extra hour of light.
It was because of war? I thought that was because of farmers.
No.
Farmers, is that some propaganda?
That's propaganda. Oh, I think it was like a byproduct or a reason to stay on it. But initially, the reason we started daylight savings is so that it would be daytime longer, so we'd burn less fuel or whatever.
Right.
And we could send all those resources overseas. But yeah, it changed the world. Obviously, us getting into World War II, we developed the atomic bomb, the nuclear. Like, I mean, it changed the world. And there's just something very peculiar to me, not saying that Churchill did anything sideways or that there was some backdoor conspiracy to get America into the war. They obviously needed us in the war, or Germany would have won for sure. I mean, we came in there and destroyed both sides. We're like, we're gonna hit you from the front and the back. It ain't gonna be good.
Yeah.
And,
but
and obviously Russia, they were a big part. I don't think we would have been able to beat Germany on our own. Russia lost like 800,000 guys in a day in some of these battles. I mean, just over preposterous numbers.
More than a million, I think, in
more than maybe more
in
than
Stalingrad, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I might be wrong about
no, that. It could be. I was lowballing it at 800,000. It could have been over a million. I mean, that's insane numbers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was like it changed the world.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it was straightforward.
I heard this recently somewhere that, you know, in all of World War II, the United States lost something like 400,000 soldiers. Okay. Just shy of 500,000 U.S. soldiers.
Really? Yeah. That many?
Yeah. And Russia lost like 22 million.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, devastating numbers.
There's a whole different mentality on that side of the world. You know, that's another problem with what's happening in Ukraine right now is we all look at it from this lens of our own society and our own views on the world and our own history on the world. You think that in middle school or high school when they start teaching you about like World War II and stuff like that and like geopolitics, like very basic geopolitics, you think they're teaching the same stuff to us here in the States that they're teaching kids in Russia or heck China? No, it's different history. You know, it's so like people never think about this. We look at it and we're like, oh, the history of this and the history of that, and that's why they're doing this. And it's, well, maybe you're right, but also maybe they look at history a totally different way and they're just totally thinking about it different. And we shouldn't even be involved, man. We got people here in the United States. I got people that are homeless. Oh, excuse me. What do they call them? Unhoused people, whatever the correct term is now. We got homeless people living right here, right on my street. What's up?
Yeah.
We got people coming in too.
$2 billion missing.
Oops. Money's missing. Infrastructure, potholes. Don't even get me started on the roads, the infrastructure. Okay. So you're going to tell me that we should be involved in some other people's business? No.
I'm not going to tell you that.
No, not you. Just
I'm not gonna tell you.
I know you're not. Just
of course. It's just I understand helping your allies out. I understand that, but I don't understand oodles and oodles of money going to something that was largely provoked by America. Stalin's been saying since I was a child, not Stalin, Putin. Oops, Freudian slip. Putin's been saying since I was a child, probably before I was born, no NATO on our borders. Absolutely not. I don't want it. I don't trust it. Don't want it. Don't do it. And everybody's told him, of course not. Of course not. And then NATO's just crept up and crept up and crept up and crept up and crept up. And then we take over, the Ukraine joins NATO. And he's like, I told you, I've been telling you for 2-3 decades, don't do that. But see, again, just to what you said, we look at everything through our lens. We would let another country do that. We're letting millions of immigrants just pour over the border. And the Mexican cartel just basically runs Mexico, not the government. And we make, they smuggle drugs in and everybody's, there's pill mills everywhere. And they're just, it's a business for us.
And who's funding the cartels?
I mean,
China.
I think it was on Rogan. He was talking about how many businesses internationally China owns. And it's like a preposterous number of businesses are actually Chinese run in the U.S., and all around the world, big, big, big household name businesses are Chinese owned. We don't even know.
It's a long game, man.
They all play the long game.
China has been around way longer than the United States. And they, again, look at history differently. And if they have to play a generational game where they can infiltrate every aspect of global society, and I'm talking from academia to science to politics to cartels, you name it, you give it another 100 years, if it just keeps rolling the same way, dude, whatever, you know. And there's another thing about the immigration thing that a lot of people don't think about. Especially when you have something like any form of democracy or republic of any kind, like when people can vote and their vote is counted in some fashion towards passing legislation, you have people moving in mass amounts that do not culturally agree with you. They're going to change things over the course of time. Yeah. And it's been used as a weapon all over the world for the longest time. Like,
that's what's happening in Europe, dude. England is. I know a couple dudes from England, and they're like, "Dog." I was like, "Oh man, I've always wanted to visit." They're like, "You wanted to visit in the '90s, and the early 2000s. You don't want to visit now." He's like, it's not, you know, cobblestone roads and you know, newspaper boy hats and tweed jackets. It's dudes in robes and ladies in shala, dude, head to toe. So it's like, it's changed. They have Sharia law in the UK. Like, that is the local municipal governance, Sharia law in some places.
And how do they do this? They pick a place, let's say, I don't know, Syria, and then they bomb the shit out of it. They pull all kinds of shenanigans. They do all kinds of shadow ops or whatever they're doing. They're taking people out and they're pulling strings. They're creating vacuums. They're funding cartels, whatever they're doing, ISIS, whoever.
National restructuring.
Right. They put their people in and it's all a farce. And then, you know, the next thing you know, all these people who are trying to flee go to these other countries. And listen, a lot of these people, a lot of refugees are, they truly need to go somewhere where they can be safe. No problem. Yeah. But the problem is that amongst those are plenty of non, you know, peaceful people.
Well, it's not even that they're not peaceful. It's like, they've been displaced from their home.
Well, no, I'm not talking about those. People who are displaced from their homes, but then you also have people who like infiltrate that group of people, right? You have like cartels or terror groups, you know? And it's like...
But when people are leaving all these other countries and come here, it's like they just want to work. They want to make money. That's it. They're not seeking asylum. They're seeking asylum from poverty.
Right. No, for sure.
They have no interest in turning in like assimilating into American stuff. They're like, nah, dude, I'm from there.
Right.
I just want your money.
Exactly. The problem becomes when you have social structures that just basically give money and resources away to people for almost no reason. It encourages people to come here. There's literally people that come here with shirts that say, you know, Biden, you know, coming for Biden or whatever. It's like, yeah, they know that if they come, that they can leech off of the system and it's fine.
Paying to be here. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back in the day when you were an immigrant or whatever, you came over, like the goal was to get citizenship. And then you're like, I'm American. And you had your Italian or your Irish or your whatever heritage, and they make their little sections or whatever. And you have the Irish versus the Italians and whatever. And, you know, there was always that. But at the end of the day, you're American.
Right. You wanted, it was like
America first.
Everybody wanted to be, you know, it was, there, you always hear these stories about people coming and seeing the Statue of Liberty, right? Or whatever. And they having the feeling of like, oh, you know, and it's like, do people even get that anymore? Mm-hmm. Or is it like they just show up and like, I don't know, man.
I think there's plenty of people that immigrate. And there's plenty. I think everybody that immigrates legally is probably like, yeah, America all the way, dude. Let's.
Yeah.
I want the American dream. Red, but, white, and blue. Let's do it.
But when you see what's happening, are you really like that stoked about it anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if you can be.
Like, let's say you've waited like 10 years. You've like worked like the last 10 years. You're like, just busted your ass, man. You're like, I'm going to America, dude. I'm gonna do the thing, dude, right? And then like you just start watching what's happening. You're like, dang, do I do it?
Yeah, don't I be part of that?
Should I go?
Do I really want to get involved in this joint, dude? This place is gonna get nuked soon.
That's what I'm worried about.
It is wild.
That's what I'm worried about. I've been telling people this, man. You know, I don't know if it's just me being crazy or if it's a weird, one of my weird intuition moments that I had in my life. It's like something just tells me, yo, they're going to do something. They're going to do one of these false flags soon. It's been a little while since they've done one, and everything else is ramping up, right? Everything else is like, it used to be, you know, they would pull a maneuver and it'd be a long time, and then they pull another maneuver. Now it's like every day, boom, 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 maneuvers. I think you were saying this one day. It's like, every day is like the Titanic sinking or something. It's like a huge event for people.
Yeah.
And, but there hasn't been like a big, what we would call a false flag event that drags us into like another thing.
What I'm scared of is that it's going to be civil and not international.
I think it's going to be global.
They tried to do it with September, with January 6th. I think they tried. I mean, obviously, that's a false flag.
No, well, obvious. I don't know, man. I wonder if that was just like a hey, let's fracture one of these superpowers. They've fractured us. And I'm talking, when I say they, I'm talking about these globalist lizard people, right? They, the Klaus Schwabs and such. You know, they fractured the United States with all of our bickering and bitching about everything, when all their propaganda and the George Soros funding of this and that, right? And then they fracture the other superpowers like Russia with instigating and pulling strings to get them involved in war. And then they're fractured. You know what I mean? They're just doing this global thing. So I think that the next false flag is going to be the global one. I mean, we all know that Agenda 2030 is on the books. It's out there. It's public. It's written down. That's what they want to do. And the only way they're going to get all of that done by the time 2030 comes around, the way that they really want to do it, is if they just say, and it doesn't even have to happen, they can just tell everybody, a nuke went off somewhere. We got to go. We got to back them up now. Doesn't even have to be here. It could be like, hey, Poland just got hit. And then they show us some, like we've talked about this, they show us some footage of Fallout 3, you know, aftermath, and the whole city's nuked. And then they're like, we're going to up the age of enlistment from whatever, 35 to 45. And then, you know, we're going to start the draft again.
Could be, man. The thing is, like, you have to debilitate America in some way. There's enough of us here that are like battle is in our blood.
Yeah, but economically, we are going down that path right now.
Wait, I think we are.
So
you have to cripple America to some extent. But it's like, there's too many people here that are not going to go along with, like, okay, we'll just get on the global digital currency. It's like, you're going to have to really, really hurt those people. And the easiest way to do it, and I think everybody knows this, is financially. You just destroy the economy.
Sure.
And it's like, there's nothing else you can do. You can't go and fight with, what are you going to do? You can't go and start your own bank. There's no amount of bullets you can do to be like, turn the banks back on. Just take my money. It's like, no, dude, we're all digital now. There's no amount of bullets you can shoot that's going to change that.
That's true. I mean, unless the announcement of World War III, all the stock markets collapse, it's done. I mean, that's one way that you could totally economically cripple not just the United States, but the entire world. And you could do it like overnight.
I don't think you need to cripple in Japan. Whatever the leader there, the emperor, says, it goes. They're not going to be like, no, like, that's it.
Yeah.
They're not armed. They're very peaceful, but they're not armed. They're not going to do anything. China, obviously, they just do whatever the grand leader says. Russia, same deal. Europe is the same deal. It's just the UK, which is, what are they going to do?
Well,
offense to the UK. Australia is always down for whatever. They don't fuss. They were putting them in camps for COVID, and they're like rationalizing that it's not a camp. It's like, no, there's a pool. Like,
I don't actually know. I'm going to push back on you on that. I don't think that the people of Australia had that mentality. And I think that that's why our show in particular was like number 12 in Australia for like a hot minute, a whole year. We were in the top.
I know the
20.
Yeah.
So there's people I would assume
there's plenty of, I probably just heard a lot of brain dead dummies. That's all.
Well, you heard the media narrative, right? Again, yeah. You're hearing history being filtered through.
A lot of the videos I saw of people wiling out in COVID was from Austria. You're right. You are right about that. There's like people.
I just had to, I got to represent my Australians that are listening right now.
You got a lot of dummies out there that get on podcasts and talk a lot of stupid crap, dude. You got to stop this.
Yeah, I'll be wrestling crocodiles. It's not smart, but.
Yeah, you guys have flying spiders. I don't want to mess with you.
You got some critical thinkers over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, have they ever like been in a real war with any other country? I don't think so.
I don't know, man. But.
Dude, let's move to Australia and join their army.
Let's not. Once in a while, I have like this thought. I'm like, oh man, maybe I should move out of the country. And then I'm like, where are you gonna go? With what money? No,
I'm a simple guy, dude. I would totally move. I've thought about it too, of moving to like some African country and just being like, hey, I'm going to be an educator. That's it.
Yeah, until freaking whoever Nestle rolls through and sucks the groundwater out from under your feet and you guys just dehydrate to death in like 3 weeks.
But they're more, to me, there, it's more of like, if somebody comes in, we can blast them and then it's over.
But they never do. Because people show up and they're like, hey, guess what, guys? We found this cobalt mine you guys can dig in for like a dollar a day. And everybody's like, all right, let's go.
And well, they go to like super poor places and do that. I try to not move to those places.
Well, most places are going to become those places once Agenda 2030 happens. Right, you know, here's the thing, okay? Like the United States, for instance, the oil reserves under the under the ground here, massive, bigger than everywhere else.
Massive.
Better quality oil, all this shit. So it's like, if they kick everybody off of all the rural land and they stick us all in smart cities after they false flag us and we go through World War III and the collapse happens and they rebuild it and everything else, and they put everybody in these whatever pens, okay, and they have all this open land for themselves to do whatever they want, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to suck up everything. They're going to suck it all up, dude.
Yeah, why not? They don't have to share with anybody.
Nope. And money's not going to be real anymore. It's going to be digital. So it's not even going to be about the money. It's just going to be them sucking it just to feed the meat batteries that they're trying to create.
What would be the point of, like, this is something I never understood is like, obviously there's places that don't have oil and don't have like certain things. Like when I was doing the research for this false flag, whatever. One of the things that we hit Japan with is just cutting off their oil because we supplied their oil. I'm like, wait, we were an oil broker or supplier or whatever? It wasn't always the Middle East.
Bro, Russia supplies a lot of the world's oil, the Middle East.
Yeah, I know they did, but obviously they wouldn't be giving it to Japan. But I was like, we were?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't know that we were oil dealers. And I'm like, what's the benefit in not doing that? I don't understand.
The climate.
Except to just be at, except for like an outside power wanting to cripple our ability to be independent. Because if the other country's in your pocket and you're not using your own resources and you got to rely on the other country, then they can just threaten you all the time.
That's exactly what it is. What it is, here's what it is. After World War II, you know, when they created these alliances with all these nations to try and, quote unquote, avoid another world war, they had ways to, like, convince countries to join. Okay? It wasn't all.
You just reminded me.
Go ahead.
Exactly that. They made a bunch of countries sign these treaties, and the terms were join or you will be utterly annihilated.
This is what I'm saying. So, like, it's not all like, you know, hugs and kisses, like, hey, we're all friends. It's like, no, you're going to be our friend. And that also means, like, we're going to put bases in your country, we're going to influence your elections. We're going to do all kinds of stuff, okay? We're going to send your sons to fight. I don't remember what my original point was. That what were you talking about just before that? Because I totally lost my train of thought.
You were saying that, like, they all the countries, they were told to join together, like, when World War II started.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, they had, like, this, I don't know, it was like, I don't know if it was, like, a guilt trip, you know? They basically like guilt tripped everybody, or like, what's the other buzzword that's going around right now? Gaslighted all these countries into, like, you know, signing all these treaties and shit. But they're doing the same thing right now. So that's the benefit, right? That's how you weaken the sovereignty of a nation. You say, hey, look, I know that all these other treaties exist between you and all these other nations, and that's what's kept you guys at the top. But now we're going to switch it up. The climate's the most important thing. I know that you guys have enough oil under the ground there to sell energy for hundreds of years to the whole world and literally change the face of the world. I'm not going to say planet, I almost did, but the world. Just with the amount of money that could be made from, you know, exporting all of this energy around the world, you could literally solve world hunger if you directed those funds the right way. They would never do that, but they could. But the, just the fact that they could is dangerous in and of itself if you're trying to have a global, one world global governance, right? Is because you cannot have a nation that has the ability to suck energy and money out of its own ground, right? You've got to take control of all that shit. It's about control. It's all control. Yeah, control the resources.
Control that nation, yeah. Because, like, obviously Russia can and does, and China can and does, but they're part of the agenda.
Right. Well,
they're in cahoots.
And then they'll say, like, hey, you know, the reason that we're not drilling that is because why would we start drilling more oil? Because the climate. And it's like, it's now, like, they got you trapped.
Well, yeah. And who would drill it the cleanest? America.
Well, that's, well, no, no. See, now you're thinking too clearly and you're thinking too many steps ahead.
Sorry. We should let the countries that do it dirty do it.
The
sorry.
Cricket bars will make sure you don't think that hard.
Yeah, you'd want America doing all of energy because we do it the cleanest.
That's what you would think. But again, the cricket bars will make you stupid enough to be like, oh yeah, we're not drilling the oil because the oil's bad for the environment. And then that's it. End of story.
This is how you know that the world is run by malevolent people. We do have the resources to eradicate world hunger, and it hasn't been done.
Nope.
So the money's out there, and it's being spent on everything else. Some people are benevolent, and they say, okay, I'm Akon. I'm going to give power and or wells to hundreds, maybe thousands of villages in Africa. Awesome. Some other company, they made like these huge desalination barges that will get ocean water, take the salt out, pump it back in fresh off the coast of Africa. Awesome. Doing great things. There's plenty of countries doing great things. But in the grand scheme of all of the wealth of the world and all of the poverty and all the hunger and all the waste that we have, if there was a real world economic forum, and they came together and said, okay, how are we going to eradicate hunger? How are we going to eradicate poverty? It would have been done. And no one would be hungry and no one would be poor and no one would be homeless, because it doesn't take that more money than these countries have combined.
Not even the countries, dude. Just a couple of people. The handful, the few hundred or maybe a thousand or two schmucks that write up all these Agenda 21s and Agenda 2030s and all the, you know, trilateral commissions and the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, schmucks and the Bilderberg groups and the, you know, the Bohemian Grove schmucks. Just those people.
Just the attendees at Bohemian Grove could eradicate world hunger, world poverty.
Easily. They could just pitch in, like, you know, like when I'm driving around, sometimes I see the homeless guy, right? And I'll be like, dang, man. I know he's just going to do whatever he wants with this, but that's cool. I'm going to give him like a couple bucks, maybe even a five, if I got a five loose, right?
I give them whatever cash I have.
Right. If I got a five loose,
I've given preposterous amounts.
Well, you're better than me. I'll give you a few bucks. I'll buy them shit.
I gave it to this one dude. He literally was like, whoa, and just left. He
was like, right. Hey.
And like three other homeless dudes came out of the woods. He was like, ooh, I got $20.
Oh, they beat the dog shit out of him, bro.
Oh, dude, they all went in the gas station, got smokes.
Oh, okay. They beat the dog. You got that guy beat up.
He was like, I'm done for the day, man. I'm out of here.
But, you know, like, that's how much it would take that group of schmucks to end half the problems. If they just, like, pitched in, you know, little loose fives in their pockets and they're like, here you go. They could easily.
I'm all about people making their bags, dude. You go and build an amazing company, dude. Stack those baggies, dude. I'd do the same thing. But if I'm going to be on the World Economic Forum and I'm going to be all about, like, you know, helping the world, okay. But I'm going to make sure, I'm going to put my thinking cap on and make sure America's doing the energy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be out there making sure that everybody is contributing to a world fund where we can build all the houses that need to be built and not just build them in cities, you know, and get all the food. Let's get farmers making all the food, not destroying their own crops.
Yeah.
And let's make sure the soil is good. And not just beating the earth to death and not doing any regenerative stuff. Like, that's what the World Economic Forum should be doing. Not figuring out how to ID every person in the world and make, you know, mRNA mosquitoes.
Yeah.
That crap is whack, dude.
That's what they do. And robotic bees and shit.
Evil villain stuff, dude.
It really is. And that's what they do. And the problem is that almost all of those people, none of them are actually contributing shit to society. They're all just leeching. They just walk around and they act like they have some type of control. And the only real control that they have is because they have monetary control and some connections. They know some people, right? So they're just walking around leeching, just lobbying, passing shit, Agenda 2030 in our asses so that they can leech. They're not creating art. They're not creating music. They're not creating anything that's worth anything to any of us.
No.
But we let it happen.
We get a Starbucks on every corner. Pass.
We let it happen. The two-tailed siren, you mean? Every time I see it, I point that shit out to whoever I'm with. I'm like, you see that logo right there? You see that Starbucks logo? You never know. That's the two-tailed siren. And they look it up and they're like, what? The goddess of fucking death and addiction? I'm like, yeah, bro. Think about it.
Yeah, they're friggin' serving you diabetes and high blood pressure, dog.
Yeah. I won't say any names, but my homeboy said that his homeboy's kid got the diabetes, okay, which is sad, and then cost him a shit ton of money, obviously, right? Insurance and everything cost him all kinds of money, now the kid's got to live with this. And I even said it. I was like, that damn medical industrial complex and Big Sugar, man. They're probably chilling at the barbecue together, going to their kids' freaking, I was going to say soccer game. Their kids don't play soccer. They're playing water polo or some shit. Going to their kids' water polo sessions, and they're like scheming about how, like, hey, how can we pump as much high fructose corn syrup into as much shit as possible so that all these people have diabetes and now they got to come to you. And so they're going to be buying my stuff. Then they come to you, buy your stuff, and boom. Then we could buy more water polo stuff for our kids.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't believe that all of it, especially when it comes to like the nutrition side of it, is like an intentional conspiring. I think that I take it back. I don't know
really if every doctor about is
on
that.
Board with that. I know that like the whole thing started with petroleum, and like I don't know if it wasn't J.P. Morgan, it was one of those Rockefeller or whatever. They like figured out how to do some petroleum stuff back in like the 30s and 40s, and then they literally rewrote medical literature to introduce petroleum-based medicines. And they got rid of all natural medicine stuff. And the only way to get an accreditation in a medical institute was to be teaching this new program. So they definitely do that.
Run by and instituted by the Rockefellers.
Yeah. So I do believe that was a, you know, that happened, that there was a conspiracy to move things toward a more chemical based thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's turned around until kind of recently, because like I was a personal trainer for a while, and it's like, dude, people have no interest in doing what it actually takes to do anything successful most of the time.
Right.
Most people are just zombified. They are entranced with their TV, and they are entranced with the phone, and they cannot break the cycle.
But
it doesn't matter. So the only thing you can do to stop them from literally eating themselves to death is to medicate them. Now, it's like because technology has hacked them and the ease of life has hacked their biology. You don't have to walk really anywhere. You don't have to carry really anything. You don't have to like eat foods that are fresh. You can eat everything preserved. And it's like the demand for the ease, you know, if you're all about the bags, then yeah, I'm going to make this thing that you need. Okay, I'm going
to
do it.
Right, but you can track all of those things back to the same group of individuals who all know each other and all worship Moloch at Bohemian Grove. I mean, question it if you want, but I got pictures.
That commonality.
I got the pictures from like 1910 or whatever, right, of all these schmucks at Bohemian Grove, the guys who invented like things that we use in the first televisions and radios and all the things that distract people and created the zombies to create this whole system that you're just explained. They are all so
that part's hard to explain. I'm trying to, you know, be devil's advocate and give it both sides, but there is that fact and that is difficult.
I'm just saying, you know,
the child effigy is kind of hard to get around.
That's, you know, it's kind of a key factor in the whole thing for me.
Like, yes, all these things probably did happen independently, but then they all got together at the cremation of care. And then, okay.
And you know what's wild? Shout out to Alex Jones again, because if we didn't know that Bohemian Grove was a thing and what happens there, then it would be hard to kind of connect a lot of dots. It would be hard to just make that leap and be like, oh, they were buddies and they were doing weird shit together.
When they say, like, what cabal?
Right.
That one.
Right, exactly.
People meet in secret? Yes. And they have been. And we've known about it. They called Reagan out about it on air. And he said they do gay stuff. It wasn't Alex Jones. He said it.
I'm just, you know, so
did you hear about what they actually first started Agenda 2030, like way, 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 way back in like the psychedelic, whenever that was, the 60s?
Yeah, it's not a new
MK Ultra.
Yeah, it's not a new concept.
But do you hear like it originally was not going to be a hologram?
Are you talking about the Project Bluebeam stuff?
That's what I meant. Project Bluebeam, not Agenda 2030.
Oh, yeah, because
Project Bluebeam was all the way back in MK Ultra.
Yeah, Serge Manasse. We read about that. It was like back in the day.
Yeah, well, I must have forgotten because I was
amateur.
It's a lot. I was watching a thing and it was like, yeah, the original Project Bluebeam during MK Ultra was not going to be some sort of projection in the sky or any sort of technology like that. They were trying to implant the hallucination in your head. Sync all of the like mass hallucination in your head.
How many times have I said this?
Dude, you've said it so many times.
How many times have I said this?
Yeah.
The millimeter
and like
waves.
A lot of that's what these cults were, is like people doing lots and lots of psychedelics and trying to get that shared experience to happen, which is kind of crazy because a lot of DMT trips, there's shared experiences. There's like the mother and there's the... It's kind of weird.
There's definitely something with psychedelics and opening portals, for sure. I can tell you from experience that, and I've experienced psychedelics where it's just like a party thing, and I've experienced psychedelics where it's like you opened a portal or something, okay? And there are people in history who have done this. I mean, the cult that Hitler was freaking obsessed with, those chicks were like into some like weird stuff and it got him into some weird stuff. So, and that's just one example. I mean, look at the Mansons, right? The Manson family, right? Like the psychedelics, there's something weird there. There's something there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's possible. And I don't know, like I've said it before, I don't know if like you're going in or out. Like if you're diving into that like 30 miles of DNA that you have, all that information, those, you know, they're not even terabytes, they're whatever's bigger than that of information in like your DNA, you're tapping into that when you go, or you're getting sent out somewhere. I don't know, but it's very interesting that we're getting psychedelics more blasé. Everybody's kind of cool with it now. Like not everybody, but it's definitely way more mainstream. And it's way more researched. And the drugs are getting crazier. People are building up tolerances to fentanyl now. And now it's like something that's kind of sought after in cocaine. It's like already flipped to be like, I want the dirty stuff because it's way crazier.
There's a new drug now that's worse.
Oh, dude, I don't remember what it's called, but yeah, I was listening to someone talk about it, probably Rogan. And it's just like, dude, it's crap is scary, but it's like, yeah, drugs are getting like really, they're getting really mainstream.
It wouldn't be very hard for them to implant images into people's minds en masse. I mean, they're experimenting with direct energy weapons now. We're watching it in real time. I don't have to point out the examples to everybody, but
yeah, you 5G somebody with some mRNA from a mosquito and who knows what happens.
Look at Havana Syndrome.
What is that?
Havana Syndrome is people, especially like intelligence people and stuff like this, have reported having like all kinds of strange effects happen and like measurable effects on their brains from like what can only be explained as some kind of microwave technology or something. And some people have claimed that some Russian guy or somebody or maybe a German dude invented this back in like the 40s or something like that. But it's a weapon. It's a direct energy weapon that affects the human brain and can cause all kinds of problems. I don't want to list the symptoms because I don't know them off the top of my head, but you know, it'll fuck you up. Okay, they put you in a CAT scan, and there's actually examples of people who have had MRIs, and then a couple weeks later, after this Havana Syndrome happened, another MRI, and there's a clear issue with their brain, and it's like, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I can believe that. I mean, I think we discovered MRIs from the bomb.
Probably. But my point is that they, you know, they have the ability to implant information. I mean, when they invented the television, going back to this, I mean, they were experimenting with frame rates and everything because they wanted to.
That's subliminal messaging.
And exactly. And you don't think that they're still doing that with frame rates or colors or sound, especially sound. Sound is the key.
We've got like 1,000 frames per second cameras, bro.
Sound is the one.
You could blast people. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sound
freaks me out because if you can go YouTube videos about what sound can do. Sound could destroy the universe. The universe is sound, in fact. Without sound, there would be no universe. Everything is a vibration, right? We talked about this. Every particle is vibrating at a certain frequency and so on and so forth. That is sound. It's a frequency. If sound ceased to exist, we'd be fucked. If some sound weapon was used and it interfered with the universal hologram sound, we're fucked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, you've seen like the videos of like the little water droplet and they start playing like a certain frequency and it's like, wow, 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 wow. I mean, imagine if they hit you with that and you're like,
cymatics, dude. Cymatics. Yeah. Look up cymatics, people, where they use frequency to create shapes with sand and water and molecules and all kinds of shit, and they just pump frequencies in and they make perfect geometric patterns, and then they can also make like really disturbing patterns and stuff like that. There's a guy, I forget his name, same thing, he, you know, did this experiment. I think he did it with plants and ice where he would, yeah. I forget the exact experiment, but something about, you know, talking to the ice or to the water as it froze or taping words to it. And those words.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, dude. I don't know. I don't know if I believe
that. Listen, if you get into the research on cymatics, it makes sense because certain words and frequencies, they all connect, right? Like the like Yahweh, for instance. I've watched things, multiple different people break it down where like Yahweh pronounced the proper way is like a certain sound, and that sound is actually a frequency, or like the Om, like Om, the like Buddhists, right? Yeah. Like that's a certain frequency that they're trying to express, and that is a positive sacred geometric pattern. And then like, I don't know, it just, it's deep, it's deep.
Yeah, there's definitely something to the ice crystals, when you look at them being formed in a certain way is for sure sound. Is it gonna influence the structure because that's what it does to water. you know, you're lining up these waves, and a chaotic wave is going to make a crazy looking thing, and a nice, you know, a nice sine wave or whatever is going to have. So it's definitely possible, but like, I don't know, does intent or the harshness, maybe it's just the actual velocity of the note that is what is changing things, because they're not going like, I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you. You know, it's like, I love you, I hate you. And I was like, oh, this joy.
Right. There must be intent. There must be intent involved.
Perhaps there's intent, but then like we also speak differently. Well, I'm not going to be like, I love you. I'd be like, it's tender. And the frequency, not necessarily the frequency, but the velocity of my note is different. So it's less chaotic. It's got less punch to it. Perhaps that has something to do to it. But also, like they say, if you play like music, you put like the headphones to a baby in the womb, it will develop smarter, like measurably smarter. And I'm like, that makes sense, dude. It's being formed, it's growing, the cells and all that liquid in there has like harmonious waves being syncopated together, you know? And like, that's why classical music is like the thing. You don't want to play like rock or whatever all the time. Maybe I'm saying rock, but, or maybe rap or something that doesn't have like as melodic of a thing, like classical music where it's all harmonious. So I played, you know, Animals as Leaders for my kids, so they should be friggin'.
I think it's all about the frequency of the music, not so much the music itself. I mean, that's why they switched it from 432 hertz back in the day to 440.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, I don't know. They changed it from like one note to another note.
Well, I remember doing research on this one time, and we had a guy on the show once. I don't know if you did the episode with me, but he talked about this for a while, and how the 432 hertz is like, it resonates with the earth and our bodies in a very certain way, and it's like a positive resonance, I guess, is how you explain this. Whereas 440 is not, and that could cause, you know, cell damage and whatever.
Dude, I guarantee you, if you came up, listen to the listeners, we got to clip this. Come up with an earpiece that detunes 440 to 432. It slows the frequency down. Billionaire.
Billionaire. But they wouldn't let you do it.
Crowdfund it.
They'd take you
out. Dog, there are enough of us out there who want to hear the world through 432.
Yeah. You can find it. You know, I know that like if you YouTube stuff, you can find this stuff. But then again, I always think to myself, you know, something like YouTube, this conglomerate that's definitely part of this agenda and all this stuff.
I also think that's just a US thing.
Well, yeah, but, you know, aren't they, don't you think that they would have it built into the algorithms to like tweak 432 hertz to 431 hertz and you wouldn't even notice? And it's like, so even if you upload your perfectly created 432 hertz song up to YouTube, like it's not, you're listening to it back and it's not.
I wonder, I don't think that it is. Switchfoot's Beautiful Letdown album is in 432. And most music in the UK is 432. Hmm. It's a US thing that's 440.
Well,
because I remember like it used to be called back when I was taking music classes in like the 90s or whatever. That was at least any time that I had heard of 432, it was British tuning.
Well, maybe the Illuminati needs to hire me because they should have thought of that.
Yeah, dude. Like, hey, we're smart guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get hired in, dude? They're hiring like, you know, Lil Pump and like, no, dude. And with these guys, like, no.
They didn't even think about blocking 432 hertz on YouTube. Amateurs.
Yeah.
That's a $1 billion idea. You're welcome, Illuminati.
Yeah, if you pull up, like, that's the only album I can think of off the top of my head that's in 432. But if you pull that album up on YouTube, you're gonna have to detune your guitar to play it.
There's a lot of like prog and djent bands that are doing that now because
I'm sure,
you know, a lot of these bands are familiar with all this kind of crazy stuff. Yeah, but
I like the way it sounds.
Yeah,
I started trying to record in that, but it's like too much of a pain in the butt to always make sure the project is tuned right so that my auto.
You got to tweak everything. You got to tweak your DAW. Yep, your interface.
Yeah, dude, it's a real pain in the butt. So I end up not doing that.
But it resonates well. That's why you like it, because it's resonating well with your DNA.
An E major in 432, or like a C add 9 in 432. It's like, dude, that is a nice chord, dude.
I bet you Tesseract has their shit in 432. That's why their albums are so good. God, that band is so good. I'm going to see them soon. I can't wait.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty tight.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I like Mike Thompson better.
Mike Thompson.
Whatever his name is. Mike Tompkins.
Mike Tompkins?
That's his name, the singer now than before.
Oh, Daniel Tompkins.
Daniel Tompkins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man.
I was a white guy name. I couldn't remember which one it was. There's a few.
It was Frank.
John.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, dude. He's way better than the old singer.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, on that note, you should definitely listen to the new album. Everybody else should definitely listen to the new Tesseract album. But I think we're over an hour now.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, just...
Would happily be a sponsor.
Happily.
I'll happily be an advocate, dude. 100%. Doing it for free already, dude. Yes. Tesseract reps, dude.
Hell yeah. All right, well...
Your bass tone is hella thick. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? For the next episode, maybe you can do some research on the on whether nuclear bombs... I mean, we're going right into it. Is nuclear bombs real?
I'll tell you right now, they're not. But yeah, I'll bring some... I'll bring some data. Why not?
Okay. That'd be cool.
All right, cool. Bye.